Good afternoon, down to Brass Tacks. We had a lady talking with us just before we went to the break. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon,
Yes,
Alice.
you were saying, yes.
Right. So I was talking about some of the alarming things I heard from the conference, certainly from the figures that are coming out. And so as I said, so these two unfortunate people who died without having a prior, they were not in isolation and known to be positive. They came from the community and subsequently died. So they were probably infected for, quite a few days, 5, 6 days, 7 days. And this points to two things, I think. One is that people are not recognizing symptoms of COVID-19, which means that we probably have a lot of symptomatic people out there who are not going to get tested. And I mean, we've seen this before, the people who think they have sinus problems, et cetera, et cetera. But another thing it points to as well is that the contact tracing, as hard as they are working, they're maybe 5 days, 6 days behind, because this person would have been at home for quite a few days infectious. And that, I think, is probably part of the basis for what I would say is the case for a shutdown, and it has nothing to do with a social partnership, because there comes a time when the public health, exceeds the social partnership balance. Because when public health deteriorates to a, catastrophic level, there will be no, local economy. If people are sick and dying, people are not going to be out shopping for, parts and stuff like that. So for me, and the fact that we have these probably more infectious variants circulating means, therefore, that a lot of the mitigating, because I heard the person, the WhatsApper, who said it'll be fine if we follow the protocols. And I have two problems with that. One, if people aren't following the protocols, they're not following the protocols. And there comes a time when you can't just keep singing the same tune, follow the protocols, while the house burns, right? But secondly, a lot of the data that was the basis for the protocols was modeled on, a certain infectivity of the virus at the time that we had that information. As more virus variants come out there and they're becoming more infectious, a lot of the mitigation factors are probably not going to be as effective. And if you look at the global media, the French government has now said they now are advocating for people to wear the N95 masks, right? So they're understanding that as we have more infectious variants, it is likely that while a cloth mask is better than no mask, it's probably still not going to be as effective in reducing the risk of transmission of COVID. And so for me, the case for a lockdown in Barbados, or activity pause, whatever you want to call it, would be a few things. At these numbers, 40-something positive, 20-something positive a day, you now have a contact tracing team that now has to go and find out how those 45 people, who they, interacted with, et cetera, et cetera. It is certainly going to overwhelm the contact tracing system. Secondly, if the contact tracing system is overwhelmed, we were relying on that contact tracing to allow the protocol where secondary contacts don't go into quarantine, because we think if we can contact trace effectively, by the time the contact of a primary who has now become positive is figured out, we would catch that secondary contact who is now a primary contact. That might be confusing. So we had the primary contacts who were in contact with a positive, and the secondary contacts were people who were in contact with a primary. And the present protocols, even at the CDC level, would be that you do not quarantine secondary contacts. But this relies on a very efficient and, highly functioning contact tracing system. So if our contact tracing system is overwhelmed by 45 new positives every day, catching up with secondary contacts who are not in quarantine based on the protocol becomes more difficult. So this is problematic. So you see, a lot of protocols are based on data and certain assumptions. And as those assumptions start to break down, you cannot just willy-nilly say, okay, you're a secondary contact, you need to come to work. Barbados's economy, a large percentage of our population travels on public transport. You cannot physically distance yourself from other people on a bus that is packed to capacity. So if our economy being open is relying on public transport, and public transport is going to be a significant medium for, transmission of COVID, then we have to look at also closing, doing a lockdown for that reason. And of course, the lockdown will help to control the uncontrollable people we have out there in our society. There's some people that no matter what you tell them, they're still going to go out and hang about as long as they're allowed to. And I think that it's probably more sensible to have a brief, controlled shutdown than to have this prolonged, haphazard limping of the economy. And of course, apart from the economy, it's the public health as well. I'm actually very worried at this point about, you know, our elderly in society, because once it's in the community, we have generations in a household, very commonly in Barbados. And, you know, once this gets out there, we're going to start to see an uptick in deaths, especially in our elderly, but also in our people who, you know, who are with comorbidities.
You're speaking from the position of having a background in medicine. If you can, I'd like to stay on the line a bit with us and share some of these other concerns and calls that will be coming at us. So you can do that.
I have one more comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Something that really disturbed me, I will say, was a comment made on the conference where an official said that, you know, they were so busy with the local outbreak that, you know, it's difficult to get things done, like sending out the tests for the variants. And I find that very unacceptable, you know, completely, because at this point, we need to be dealing with the local outbreak. We need to be looking at prevention of the next outbreak, and we also need to be looking at education, the vaccine. So not being able to send a test overseas because you're dealing with a local outbreak is problematic on many levels, because they need to be doing more than just sending out a test. There needs to be at least a minimum of three-prong approach going on right now in Barbados. So to say that you can't send out a test is completely unacceptable.
My recollection of the answer was that they also were tied up in a lot of paperwork, and that was the reason why they couldn't get it off to Trinidad more quickly. That's what I heard. I mean, when I got that, I mean, in the context of the variant, I personally feel that, you know, we have really taken too long, and it is too important an issue not to know. I mean, as you just said, one of the critical issues here is what kind of mask are we going to wear? Which of them is better suited to fighting off the variant as opposed to the cloth masks that we use right now and stuff like that? And you see, there's so much ignorance in this community that there are a lot of people out there who say, oh, so what difference will it make? I've heard people say, so if you knew that the variant was here, what difference would it make? Can you speak to that?
I think it makes a difference, because once you recognize that if there's a new variant here and we don't have the data to support, say, a quarantine of 2 days or 4 days or 5 days or a physical distance of 6 feet, this can then push you into doing something stricter, not because you have the data saying, oh, it's thing, it's because you don't have the data. Now you have to make harder decisions. And so for me, when people say we don't need to know this information, I think that's just a fundamental lack of understanding of how these processes work and what is actually at risk. So it's now becoming clear. When people say it's infectious, it means the virus can get into cells more easily. But now you have to think beyond that and think, okay, so does this mean that the inoculum or the amount of virus that a person gets into their nostrils, does that viral inoculum, is that smaller? And in that case, if it's a smaller amount needed, like a smaller dose needed then, does it mean that, you know, our masks were blocking out maybe 60%, I'm just using a number, cloth masks were blocking out, say, a percentage of, you know, particles and stuff like that. Maybe that percentage is now not sufficient to prevent you from getting infection because the virus itself is more infectious. So, you know, when you're dealing with a crisis, to say that information is neither here nor there is really, and I don't want to say ignorant, but it's ignorant.
Okay, let's take another caller and you stay on the line. Welcome to Dr. Brastas.
Good afternoon, Ms. Dennis.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm doing well, sir. I must remind you, 3 weeks ago, you knocked me off. I was trying to follow what I thought was good news when I called this nation the 7th of May to you, 2020, when Carter said we had community spread. and he was taken off the program. Obviously, if they have kept him there and start doing their homework, we would not be first in this predicament we are in now. But they decide to hold a basketball. I'm glad to see you going back to June, because it only proved to us that we had the warnings since the 7th of May. And Thursday.
And I hold, but sorry, I hold to the position that presented to you then.
That's what I'm saying.
Back then, there was no real evidence to suggest that we had what we have now.
Please listen to me, please. This is not false news unless you tell me not to follow the Nation. This is the Nation newspaper I'm quoting from, a valuable paper that I consider that we can follow. It was Thursday, the 7th of May, 2020.
Why are you coming to fight on that issue? Why is that so important in the context of what is going on now?
It was important because since then, the minister was saying every day since then they had a conference that we did not have community spread. That's why it's important. We had a man who was...
Well, I support what he said, but I support what the minister said up until this month, January. So I don't see it's necessary for us to go back there.
What I'm saying is, the man that we had hired to do what we wanted done had warned us. And that's why I asked you for a I'm not quoting an upward paper. I'm calling you a valuable paper, which is a Nation newspaper, which was the 7th of May, 2020, that I brought to you. That a man that we hired to inform us had given us information, but you knocked me off the air.
And they knock you off now too, because I tell you that what happened subsequent to that period was not supportive of the contention that there was community spread between May and January this year. That's my position based on the facts that were available to us over that period. Okay. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yes. You were saying?
No, I wasn't saying anything. I'm listening.
No, I mean the gentleman.
Okay. No, I'm saying that you said any Nation newspaper wasn't to be followed then, that was false news.
The Nation newspaper was quoting an official at the time. The official might have misrepresented the situation at that time. Based upon what we saw subsequently, I think that we are now in a position where even before the government officially said it, many people in this country had already concluded that we were having a situation where the virus was moving from contact to contact. And therefore, for them, that constituted community spread. I don't see why you need to return to this, because if you think that the passage of a couple of days will put me in a completely different frame of mind as it relates to your position, I think you are dead wrong.
No,
okay,
no,
so let's move on. Let's move on. Thank you very much. Dr. Brass Sachs, hello. Welcome to the program. Do we have a caller, John? Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, hello. Hi. I heard you said earlier the government have dropped the ball, right? Don't you believe the citizens have dropped the ball?
If I don't believe what?
Barbadians in general have dropped the ball.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
We have all dropped the ball.
Okay. But there's much lying about the government dropping the ball, but I think I ain't hearing enough on those indisciplined citizens who have dropped the ball. A lot of people
Talk about them. You go along.
A lot of people that actually called this morning were critical of the government dropping the ball. They covertly mentioned that the citizens have dropped the ball, because they said when they go to places and they see anybody, the people are not wearing the mask properly and all jumble up. You also said when the person was on the bus, when the police came over, he put his mask on. When the police left, he put his mask down. And you said there's some people you can't get control. But that's exactly what's happening.
All right. So let's accept that. In those circumstances, what should a government do then? once it recognizes that there's a core of people in a country who are likely to endanger the rest of the people, and that you can't necessarily arrest them all, what are you going to do?
Well, the government could do what they're supposed to do. Set the parameters and set the protocols. And that's what the government done all along.
Set the parameters of the protocol.
And tell the people how important it is to observe the protocol.
So we are talking about something called moral suasion, that you will put the emphasis on moral suasion. That's one side of it. Educate the people. But you would agree that we have people who, no matter what you tell them or how you tell them, they want to do their own thing. As a matter of fact, there are also people who tell you that they don't believe that the disease really exists.
All right.
And for that reason, they don't have to follow anything. Okay.
All right.
On the other side, they say, lock them up. If they don't comply, lock them up. Well, you've had COVID in jail. We've had to have a policy that says no person in, no person out. What are you going
to do?
You can't lock. You can't, even if you were able to lock up some, you can't lock up all.
Listen.
So in those circumstances, what should a government do?
I don't understand what you mean by what should the government. I already told you that. The government can only do what the good, but the citizens also
all right, let
do
me,
what they should be doing.
Let me get another opinion. Let me ask the doctor. Let me ask the doctor what she thinks. What's available to the government in these circumstances?
So, David, I think that what the caller is speaking to in terms of just, you know, giving directions, this is an urgent crisis. Right? And so this, we have gone out of the realms now of just public education about washing hands, etc. This is now, we're in an urgent phase, a very accelerated phase of the infection. So gone are the public health education days. We now have to have very precipitous actions to stop this spread that we have right now. And so therefore, if we policing is an important part of this, of course, because people will break the rules even after we have a lockdown. But recognize that it is infinitely easier for the police to police when the country is locked down and you pass and you see a shop or a restaurant or a bar open and people liming, as opposed to, you know, going and trying to find if two people at a bar or a restaurant or shop don't have their mask on. You know, and so I think you need to see the urgency of the state in which we are in right now and recognize that we are gone past the time of, you know, public health education, not past entirely, but, you know, moral persuasion, as David said. We are way beyond that. And I think in terms of the callers, hold on, you said the people are calling, everybody's talking about the government. The individual in the society cannot hold its neighbors accountable. They cannot. They can say, I wish you would
themselves,
wish you do that. But they can hold the government accountable. And I think that's
what they can hold themselves as well.
No, but
they can hold themselves accountable too. Because
The callers themselves are saying, you know, I wear my mask, I try not to go on public transport, etc. Even when we discussed public transport about 2 weeks ago, right? At that point in time, even before we knew about community spread, the numbers of positive cases per day was certainly high enough to say that we have to go back to a method where public transport is carrying, say, 40% or 50% of capacity. And we did not do that, right? So tell me what can a person doing sitting on a bus say to the person next to them, put on your mask, what can they do? What they can do is appeal to the government to mandate that public transport reduces its capacity.
Listen, I don't think in the case of America, when the pandemic first started in China, America closed its borders to China and the European countries. And look at America today. There are very few countries that haven't closed the border. They said they will announce community spread. New Zealand just announced their latest community spread. And New Zealand is one of the foremost countries that got their borders shut down. You know?
So let me say something. No, because I'm very glad to be here, because people call in and they say the same things. When the U.S. closed their borders to China, they allowed tens of thousands of people into the country who were American or had green cards without a quarantine. So, you know, let us not compare apples to oranges. And forgive me if my tone is a little bit raised. You know, I have this problem, right? But so please don't compare this border closure. What we were talking about in Barbados in terms of the border was a lengthening of the quarantine, right? That is a way of protecting the border without closing the border. Right? So please don't let us compare America and they close the border and so they have
that,
a lot of...
But there are very few countries in this world that haven't closed their border. And they say got overwhelming cases of...
Closing the border and letting your residents come in, your citizens come in without a quarantine is not closing the border.
Trinidad,
you know, I'm trying to explain that to you.
Trinidad, they not even let their own people in. Look, I'm Barbadians, right? From the beginning of this thing, Barbadians were saying this. That the government allowed the visitors to come into Barbados and infect the citizens. I remember early in the piece, as far back as when the COVID czar was in action, the COVID czar said there is no proof to it, because he said the first 68 cases that we had, in Barbados, 64 were Barbadians.
Just hold on. We're gonna have to interrupt the discussion at this point. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. We've been joined prior to the news by a doctor who had been with us some 2 weeks ago or so. There's some people who want to get as much information as they can about you and your credentials as a doctor. So, how much can you say at this stage? What can you tell us?
Sure, David. So I think about graduating in 2004, so that's about 17 years out of medical school. And my specialty is in pathology. So I did pathology as my specialty after I completed, medical school and internship and stuff. And I've worked many years abroad. I have... a lot of exposure to laboratory stuff in terms of, tests and test sensitivities and specificities and, stuff like that. And understanding literature is also a strong point. So looking at data and analyzing it, which is, why I took, some kind of, to the comments about public health. I mean, many of us out there can look at data and read and understand it.
I think some people are looking for a name that they can relate to. So what can you do in
I
that
prefer
regard?
I prefer not to, David. I think you know my name and you can Google and you can see and, let them know that I am a physician and I am who I say I am. So I would prefer not to. I think... And I agree with them and their skepticism, but what they're free to do is to just look at the stuff that I'm saying. And I think a lot of what I'm saying, actually, I've heard from your general callers. When the other ladies called in and said, people are on the bus right next to me and not putting on the mask. I'm not necessarily saying something that's rocket science here,
Okay, let's take another call. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Let's take another call.
Yeah.
You need to wrap up and let's move on to another caller. So go ahead.
Okay. I'm saying what the doctor just, the questions that she was asked, answered, sums it up succinctly. How Barbadians always want to query, like this one, the simple 1, 2, 3, wear masks properly, sanitize hands, sanitize it, social distance. They can't get that one, but they want to question doctors. Well, high complex things. This is the problem, Barbados. Why are we not blaming the indisciplinable Barbados who went to the quarantine centers and hug up the family, brought back home gifts that they brought in for them? Why are we not criticizing the indisciplined ones who are not telling the doctors the truth regarding contact tracing and that sort of a thing? Right? These are the things that we also have to blame on Barbadians. The parole officer and Caribbean said, the first 3 weeks of Barbados, the new year in Barbados, 61%, we had a 61% increase in the COVID cases, mainly by Barbados. It's mainly Barbados spreading the community.
May I ask you something? Mm. And who controls the borders?
You? What borders? Look, the first two cases that
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on. You have a lot to say. So let me just ask this. At the end of the day, COVID comes into Barbados. It came into Barbados from abroad. The best method that we would have had to control COVID would have been through what? Our borders, right?
You said that the borders automatically shut down themselves. You said the borders automatically shut down. Now, the first two COVID cases...
Listen, in December, let's reason this out.
Yes.
In December, Barbados opened up and many of the planes, the airlines, were pressuring this country to reopen its borders to them. Around December, from November, December, which the only point I'm making is this. Just let me make this point. You are doing something that I hope the government of Barbados does not do, which is to come and blame the people of Barbados for what has taken place when the people have relied upon the government of Barbados to control the borders and to protect the people of Barbados from an influx of these cases. So I don't understand how you could put the blame on the people.
The influx of the cases from December came from Barbadians. The influx of the numbers that we have right now are Barbadians. And I would also like to remind you and the listeners and anybody else. The first two cases that we had the COVID, one was a 48-year-old visitor. One was a local Barbadian. The first two cases.
All right, Stats, let's move on. Thank you very much.